This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
First off on the program this morning, Kirsten Rall digs into a story about transparency in seed pricing.
The Farmers Business Network recently came out with a report that compared seed prices, highlighting the need for seed price transparency. Matt Mesner, head of data at FBN. Matt, what did you find in the report?
Yeah, definitely. So I think what we found at the highest level that's really critical was really just the magnitude of the difference in what two different growers can pay for the exact same product. So, for example, in the Dakotas, we have in 2017 a popular corn variety that was sold from anywhere from $230 to $350 per bag. That's just an example, but that's about 50% difference in seed price between the high and the low prices paid for the exact same product. And if you look across seed companies, across varieties, across traits, you see the exact same thing where the difference in prices that people pay are really shockingly large. In some cases, 20, 30, 40, 50% difference between two growers purchasing the exact same product, which understandably is a bit upsetting if you're the grower who realizes that you paid on the high end of that range when there was somebody who might have paid substantially less. So, you know, we knew that there would be price differences. I think it's expected that different varieties will have different prices, different trade packages and different prices. All of that, I think, makes a lot of sense. But what's a lot harder to understand is really the scale of price differences between the exact same product sold in the exact same area. We also found substantial price differences by, if you look at it on a per bushel basis. So really the goal of this is to ask the question of, okay, prices for seed can vary by region, but are those price differences basically justified based on the difference in productivity across those different areas? Because one of the common reasons cited for differential pricing around the country is the fact that, you know, the seed provides more value in areas that are higher yielding. And unfortunately, while that argument makes sense in principle, that's not often what happens in reality. So if you take states like the Dakotas, which are very, very important agricultural states, but not as high yielding per acre, for example, as the I states, the yields are basically lower, but the seed prices are only a little bit lower. And that means that on a per bushel basis, farmers in the Dakotas are paying significantly more than farmers in higher productivity areas of, you know, irrigated Nebraska and parts of the core Corn Belt. So I think that's another key takeaway, is really the cost of seed for your farming operation varies dramatically based on where you happen to farm.
Let's talk about transparency and how that component plays in for producers.
Yeah, so I think price transparency is something that we believe strongly should have access to when they're making important input decisions. I mean, these are not minor purchase decisions, right? If you're purchasing fertilizer or seed or chemicals, these are some of your top input expenses every year. And if you don't know what a fair price is when you go to buy inputs, then you sometimes people overpay dramatically, right? And that's really why growers sometimes pay more than they should for inputs, is because with the lack of transparency, there's not the data readily available to know what's a good price and what's not.
I'm Kirsten Rall for the American Ag Network.
This past week, China's Ministry of Commerce confirmed the nation would step up purchasing of agricultural products as the two sides are working on the text of an initial agreement, but China stopped short of giving details on how much it would buy. A ministry spokesman did not address the $50 billion import figure mentioned by President Trump, which is far beyond what China has historically spent in any one year. Scott Irwin with the University of Illinois has been skeptical of these announcements in the past.
I'm always skeptical, and I think that skepticism is being rewarded right now. It's very clear that the Chinese are dangling some very large purchases of agricultural goods in front of the president, but I don't think that they're going to sign off to actually proceed on a path towards larger purchases unless they get something that they really want in return, which is a lowering, not just a, we're not going to raise tariffs more in the future. They want to start ratcheting them down. And I'm not very optimistic that the president's going to bite on that.
Grain traders seem to be a little uncertain about the announcement from President Trump last week of a partial trade deal with China. Grain and oilseed analyst Steve Nicholson with Rabo Agri Finance.
The president said China had promised, let's get this right, they buy $40 to $50 billion worth of agricultural products from the United States. The Chinese have not really confirmed that, and we've seen this story unfold before. And then you start looking back, and I look back and I'm like, okay, well, how much is China, what's the most recent high? And that was back in 2013 at 20, I think it's a little over, just under $29 billion worth of agricultural product, commodities and related products. And that was when commodities were really, really high. And so now you're thinking commodities are down, and you're thinking, okay, well, that's a pretty big jump, and maybe that's happened if we ship some more animal protein, but that's a pretty big, that's a pretty big jump. And so I think we have to kind of try to put in context of what it is and what it's not. But, you know, as we've said before, the Chinese have made, or people have made promises for the Chinese, or the Chinese have made promises, and nothing happens. But I think the best thing I have read about it, or I think the, and it's not the best thing, but it's the most kind of honest thing about it, is that farmers are still struggling under a tariff, under tariffs the Chinese have put on U.S. agricultural products. That didn't change on Friday. It didn't change Monday. It didn't change Tuesday. It hasn't changed today. And so we're still operating in an environment where tariffs are on U.S. agricultural products going to China. This is, again, like we've said more than once, this is not going to happen overnight, and this is going to take a while, and don't get your hopes up too fast.
Dave Salmonson with the American Farm Bureau says now it all comes down to expectations being fulfilled.
And so we're all watching this as we have been very, very closely. Certainly the expectation that this will come to pass. So let's see if they can bring this home, as you might say. But I think it's a good start, better than where we were, of course. The fact that talks are ongoing is a good indication that we might get to the finish. And China, has been said, has been into the market somewhat more. They've been buying some soybeans, looking to buy some pork. We'll see how far that goes, but the numbers certainly are encouraging, at least of what they said they want to do.
Traders may be hoping for a bigger breakthrough at a global summit in Chile, where President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are expected to attend.
Certainly, if this goes the way it was lined out at the end of last week, then there could be a signing of an agreement there. Again, all depends how these future talks pan out, but we'd certainly be looking forward to have that happen. You know, I think you have to look at this again. This is a part of a bigger ongoing negotiation. This is sort of something that agriculture and we're all focused on so much. But we also want to see the bigger deal happen over time. We want to see tariff removal. You know, now we didn't escalate a tariff that's already there, but there wasn't any really drawing down of tariffs. And we want to see that happen, which probably will only happen as part of a bigger deal, so that we're not subject to constant new retaliation. We can start unwinding this whole tariff and retaliation thing that we've gotten into with China. So that's the promise of the future negotiations. But again, we have to make sure over the next few weeks, they're looking forward to bringing this announcement from last Friday afternoon home, and hopefully that benefits very soon U.S. agriculture.
U.S. inventories of ethanol appear to be rebuilding after declining sharply last week, with inventory up 837,000 barrels to over 22 million barrels, according to the EIA. President Trump's promise to rural America on biofuels taking a hit this past week when the EPA released a proposal that falls far short of the administration's biofuels deal announced on October 4th. In 2016, the EPA granted exemptions on 790 million gallons from the RFS. In 2017, the agency waived 1.82 billion gallons. And in 2018, it waived 1.43 billion gallons. Brian Jennings, CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol.
Well, now what we've seen, and this is a little complicated, but EPA has said, here's what we're going to do instead. We're going to pretend as if we were issuing partial exemptions those 3 years. They weren't. They were issuing full exemptions, full waivers to these refineries. Now EPA is saying, well, let's live in a make-believe world that we were only issuing sort of half or partial exemptions to those refineries, and let's use that imaginary partial volume as what we reallocate in the 2020 RVO. And the bottom line, it's about half or less than half than what we expected would be reallocated onto the 2020 RVO. And so far, far from what we were promised, this is a huge problem, and we're going to have to lean on our elected leaders and really submit a lot of comments to try to get this thing turned around.
The EPA sending mixed signals, and according to Jennings, it's maddening.
When I got to page 9 of the 20-page document yesterday, I blew a gasket because they do these, you know, legalese gymnastics in the proposed supplemental rule to say, well, you know, we were always encouraged by the Department of Energy to issue these partial waivers, and we never really thought that that was the right approach, but now we think that probably made sense, and so we're going to pretend as if we were issuing, you know, these 85 full exemptions and 4 billion gallons of eroded RFS statutory demand. You remember that? Just forget about that now. Imagine we only did about half that much damage, and we're going to sort of apply that reallocation method going forward. It really blows the mind. It's a far cry from what was promised from the White House and the president. And it just makes me angry thinking about farmers who 2 weeks ago thought, okay, maybe things are going to get right again. Maybe the RFS is going to get back on track again. And here we go again on this sort of ridiculous roller coaster that EPA is taking us on when it comes to the RFS.
National Corn Growers Association President Kevin Ross says the recent developments disappointing.
You know, I feel like that Mr. Wheeler there at EPA, definitely didn't come through with what the plan was that that we were working towards, as well as what was agreed to. And that, you know, I think from that perspective, you could say that misleading is one of the feelings. It's a little bit of a feeling of just disappointment, a little bit of anger, but. Again, you know, we've got work to do. We got to let them understand, or help them understand why we're working off that average. You know, if we could have trusted EPA to have used the DOE, Department of Energy recommended waived gallons before, if we actually saw them use those recommendations out of DOE, then this conversation is probably far different, but they have not. You know, I've not used those numbers, and so therefore, it's really tough to take them at their word that this is how they're going to, how they're going to use that calculation going forward. And that's, it goes back to, I guess, a mistrust factor at EPA and what they've done to us before.
Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper.
You know, here we go, round and round we go with EPA again. I mean, we had a deal. The president had promised that his EPA was going to follow the law in implementing the RFS in 2020. And that means when the number 15 billion gallons gets published as the requirement for 2020, that's what's actually going to be enforced. And there's a mechanism to do that within the regulation, and we were all expecting and understanding that the deal was going to be 15 billion gallons means at least 15 billion gallons in 2020. That's the deal that farmers agreed to. That's the deal that corn state senators agreed to back in September. That is not the deal that EPA announced and rolled out earlier this week when they published their proposal.
That's what's happening in agriculture. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. I'm Sabrina Hill for Rusty Halverson and myself. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.